So our message this morning is the Sabbath brings freedom. What do you suppose was wrong with this lady? Was it a physical illness? Perhaps mental? Maybe even psychological? Have you ever seen somebody walk that way? Bent over? Stooped over? Bad posture, slumped shoulders, and eyes that could never see, face somebody eye to eye because of her posture. Can't look somebody in the face. I had an aunt this way. She was really seriously bent over. I never remember her other than in this position. She always did what needed to be done. We would go there, and she was determined to make us dinner. And she would, even in this type of a position. She couldn't reach the cupboards up here. One of us had to do it for her. The last several years of her life, she wasn't even able to get into a bed. Ate in a chair. So I can relate to this woman in the synagogue a little bit. So what might cause someone to be this way? Maybe it's low self-esteem. Maybe the guilt can be so burdened that it's hard to bear. Maybe physical abuse. How about mental abuse? Right now we're seeing TV ads all over the place about these little puppies, sad faces, that are abused. They want money, help these poor puppies. But you ever take a minute to just look at that puppy in the eye? I'm sorry, Warren, can you hear me? Do I need to get a little closer? Is that better? Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. These little puppies that you see on TV, with their sad faces, their eyes just crying for help. Maybe that was the situation with this lady, that her eyes were just crying for help. Depression can cause people to slump their shoulders. I don't know if you've ever been depressed severely or not, or have you known somebody that was? It's really true. They're like this. You know? They don't pick up and step their feet, they shuffle. However, I believe this woman's problem was spiritual. It says in the scripture that a spirit had a hold of her. For 18 years she lived this way. The scripture tells us that she was bound by Satan. So let me ask you this. Aren't we all bound by Satan a little bit? In one way or another? Look at our world. Look at what's going on. Our world is broken. We like to just say, and you've heard me say this, make reference to, look at ISIS and what it's doing in the Middle East. But we don't need to look that far. Look at what's happening right here in our big cities. The hate that we see today. Some like to describe it as politically correct. But it's hate motivated. Our world is broken. We live with terror attacks or the fear of. But those who answer the call of Jesus, Those who don't allow hatred and darkness to leave them bent over will stand up straight. This woman's problem was severe. We mentioned earlier she had lived with this for 18 years. All she ever seen were the feet of people. She couldn't see a smiling face. A burden has sucked the strength right out of her body. You know, it's safe to assume that this woman was unhappy. I can't imagine somebody living that life, being happy. But my aunt was. You see, when we are unhappy, we focus on ourselves. It's hard to focus on God when we are not happy. When we are depressed. When we are bent over with guilt and shame. You see, it's like this, oh, poor me. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, poor me. I just don't have enough money for that new car. Oh, poor me. I'm just not getting anything out of church. Oh, poor me. Nobody likes me. You see, when we have this attitude, how can you think about God when everything in your life is, oh, poor me? But that wasn't the case with this lady in the synagogue. I don't know if she had any of these, oh, poor me moments, but I do know this, that as difficult as it was for her, she went to the synagogue to hear the word. We can experience a life that Jesus promises if we're just living in this, oh, poor me. We can't experience the freedoms of the Sabbath if we live in this life of, oh, poor me. Here's one. Listen to this really close, because I'm not very good at putting in this words. Others miss the blessings that our love for them can have on their lives when we live an, oh, poor me. Do you ever think of it that way? It's amazing. We don't know why she came to the synagogue. Was she searching for something? Was she searching for anything that might help? I don't know. What I know was that she came to the synagogue to hear the word. And what she found when she came there was Jesus not sitting down. Jesus would have been standing up because he would have been reading from the scrolls. The scrolls were long. And there's evidence that most people, if not all, had to stand when they were preaching because they had to have room for these scrolls to unroll so they could continue to read on through it. She may have come to hear the word, even as hard as it was. You see, here's the thing. I mentioned this a second ago. We come up with reasons not to come and worship that are a whole lot weaker than what this woman had. In our mentality today, it would be easy for us to accept that she was justified in staying home because of her physical condition rather than going to the synagogue. But she didn't. Being there on the Sabbath resulted in a problem for her. It resulted in a problem for the synagogue, for the community. First, the world that this woman lived in was a man's world. Women were considered property of men. There were men that thought more of their cattle than they did their wives. Women had no rights. And when they came to the synagogue to worship, they were kept separate. That's true yet today, by the way. You go to the wall at the temple in Jerusalem, there is a divided wall. The men are on this side, the women are on that side. They're not even allowed to see each other when they're at the wall praying. That's true yet today. So here Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he sees this woman. And I'm going to use the word, he has compassion on her. Now, I've read commentaries that have used different words for this. I've read commentaries where some have used the word pity. I've read commentaries where some have used the word compassion. I've read commentaries where they totally ignored it. But here's my take on this. It was compassion, not pity, that Christ showed on this lady. And here's the reason why. Pity, the word pity, is not a call to action word. You can have pity and just keep right on and moving, never even miss a step. You're walking through the mall or you're downtown or you're over here on 68th Street in the expressway, and here's this homeless guy standing on the corner with this little sign, okay? And you, oh man, I really have a lot of pity for this guy, and when that light changes, you keep right on it going. You see, pity doesn't require anything as far as action. But compassion is an action word. Compassion requires action. Jesus stopped what he was doing. And he went right into action. He called this lady to him. Now, here's an interesting question. Why did he call this lady to him? He could see her position, her condition. Why didn't Jesus just walk to the lady? I don't know if this is true, but here's my take. Remember we talked about where the women had to be all over here? The men had to be all over here? Well, Jesus be a man, he's over here because he's preaching to the men, right? When he called that lady to him, that lady had to leave the woman section and come into the men's section and speak and see and hear Jesus. Jesus, in my take, was breaking the barrier, showing that all are equal in his eyes. He touches her. Even though she was considered unclean, Jesus touches her. Just like that, this woman stands up straight. How many times have, in your prayers, or how many times have you heard me in my prayer? I said, just reach out and touch this lady with cancer. Just reach out and touch this baby that has kidney troubles. That's exactly what Jesus did. All he had to do was touch. Reality, he didn't have to do that. All he had to do was will it to be done. But if he had willed it to be done, there wouldn't have been any display for those that were in the synagogue. The display was Jesus' action, called by compassion, to touch this lady so all that could see the miraculous effect. There would have been that would not have, people there that would not have connected in that manner if all he had did is just willed it. It had been real easy for him to just come up with some lame brain reason why Jesus didn't do what Jesus did. So his touch restores her dignity. But he did it on the Sabbath. Now this is where we're getting into. The trouble starts because he did it on the Sabbath. The leaders of the synagogues just stepped up and said, "You can't do that. That is working, and you cannot heal somebody on the Sabbath. You broke our rules. You have challenged our traditions." And they just got all over Jesus for doing this. And I don't know, but I'd like to say Jesus got his dander up a little bit. "What do you mean, you bunch of hypocrites? Doggone it all, you can go get your mule or your cow or your horse or whatever it is, sheep, and you can lead them down to water on Sunday, bring them back, tie them back up, throw some feed out to them. But I can't heal this lady on the Sabbath? Come on." Why can't this woman be healed? So what is really the Sabbath? First of all, it is part of the Ten Commandments. It was given to help the Israelites to become what God wanted them to be. You see, if we don't take time out from our work, from our everyday life, from our chores, all of these things, if we don't take time out, we can't be what God wants us to be. That's what the Sabbath is. And when we can be what God wants us to be, that brings us freedom. And that's what this is. I was raised. Our Sunday was get up in the morning, have toast because it didn't require cooking, go to church, come home, have dinner that my mother made this Saturday before, because you couldn't do it on the Sabbath, go to bed, take a nap, get up, and do it all over again. As a child, the Sabbath was a burden for us. I remember one time when it was really, really hot. We didn't have air conditioning, and my dad let us sit out in the lawn chair underneath the shade tree on a Sunday afternoon. Boy, was that something. But so you see the burden that it creates? But that's how we were raised. That's what my folks believed. That's how they were raised. And it was based on an interpretation of what the Scripture says about what the Bible or what the Sabbath should be. But that interpretation resulted in a burden for us kids, and I'll bet you for adults also. And a Sabbath is not to be a burden. So, but over the years, the man interpreted it so it would be that way. They interpreted it as, so it would be as they seen it for a multiple different reasons, one of them being power. You imagine the power that the leaders of the synagogue had because their interpretation of the Sabbath was what it was? The Sabbath is supposed to be these things. It's supposed to be a day of delight. A day of renewal. A day of healing. And I really like this one. The Sabbath is supposed to be a day of transformation. It's supposed to be a day to set us free from Satan's burdens. But in this story, Jesus gives us insight into what the Sabbath really means. The Sabbath is given to enhance our life, not stifle it. The Sabbath was given in grace and compassion. That action word again. The Sabbath was given, it is a positive affirmation of humanity. Remember when I said something about our love for ourselves won't transform into love for others? That's what this is talking about. You see, as Christians, the Sabbath is to be every day. We are to stand up straight with confidence. We are to stand up straight with courage. We are to live our lives with compassion. That action word again. We are to heed the call of Christ. It is to be a day of renewal and delight. Every day we are called by Christ to be set free from the bondage of Satan and live our life in the abundance that is only found in Christ. You see, if you haven't done so, isn't it time that you stop living the stooped over life? Isn't it time that you just get rid of the old poor me attitude? Come to Jesus. He's calling you over to him, just as he called the lady in the synagogue over to him. We are to move to Christ. Allow his love to transform your love for yourself, for God, and for others. Allow Jesus to help you to stand up straight. And when you do, and when you find yourself no longer in a stooped over position, and when you find your attitude no longer, oh poor me, I have three things to say. Praise God, praise God, and praise God. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.